Diego Union Tribune, our good friend Mark Ziegler joining us here on the program. Mark, you're a busy guy. You do a lot of things there. In terms, I know it probably just depends on the season. What's your favorite event to cover since you've done the Olympics, you've done soccer, World Cup, Aztecs basketball, all that stuff? What's your favorite to cover?
Well, I love covering San Jose State basketball when they're winning, which isn't happening right now. So they go down the list a little bit. Not as fun to watch right now or to cover, but I love covering the Olympics, and weirdly enough, being a San Diego guy, I was born in Hawaii, grew up in Northern California, lived in San Diego for 25 years, love warm weather. I love the Winter Olympics. There's something about them, there's something about the athletes, the events. I put up with freezing for a month and adjust to it, and I love figure skating. Don't ask me why. I've never been on skates in my life. I barely skied, but stuff like that just it appeals to me, and I enjoy covering it. Today I was down covering the U.S. national soccer team, the men's team, with just hired a new coach, Greg Berhalter, and he had his first practice of his first training camp today down here in Chula Vista. So I was down there doing. So it's fun doing a little variety and mixing it up every now and then.
Are there any Chargers fans left in San Diego with L.A. now in the divisional round?
You know what's funny? It's funny you ask that because, people just swore them off, right? You guys are traitors. You left us hanging. You abandoned us. You didn't really try to stay. You didn't give it a good effort. And they go up to L.A., and everyone's like, no, we're not going to – I'm not watching them. I'm not dealing with them. Well, then you look at the TV ratings, and they're just going up and up and up, and it's like these huge TV ratings. So everybody, they're not watching in group parties anymore, in a big watch party. They're all, like, quietly watching in their living rooms. And now they're all Charger fans again. I was in a bar a few weeks ago after I played some basketball. I went to a bar, and the Chargers were playing Kansas City in that game where they came back. And we walked in the bar. There were a bunch of people in there, and they were swearing at the Chargers. And then all of a sudden they came back, and the entire place was going nuts for the Chargers. So I think we're all front runners here, and that's how it goes. But, yeah, there's huge interest now that they're this far in the playoffs.
So now moving to San Diego State basketball, we all know that when they were rolling, I mean, it was 13,000, it was selling out Viejas. What's it like right now that the struggles have been indeed real for San Diego State basketball this season?
Well, it's really weird. So the last game they played at home, they played CSUN, Cal State Northridge, and a team that's ranked, in the same neighborhood as Wyoming is down in the various metrics, way down near the bottom. And they got down 19 with 15 minutes to go, and the place was booing. And it's rare in the last 10 years. I mean, I can count on probably two fingers the number of times I've ever heard a boo in there. And they were booing pretty robustly. They booed him back, and Dutcher had to call a timeout. He rarely calls timeouts, but he actually had to call one, and they booed him into the timeout. And then they came out, and, they kind of turned it over again. And then all of a sudden, a guy hit a three, and someone else hit another three. And the crowd just got behind them. And it was one of their smallest crowds that they've had in the last 8 or 9 years. It was like 9,900. But they were hardcore fans because it was New Year's Day. It was an afternoon game on New Year's Day, and you've got to be pretty hardcore to go to that. And they got into them, and it was as loud as I heard it. I've ever heard Viejas Arena. I mean, even in the good old days with Jimmer playing against Kawhi and those kind of games, it was crazy in there. So I think these fans desperately want them to win, and I some of them are giving up on them, but some are kind of sticking with them. It'll be interesting to see what happens, going forward as they continue to struggle.
What have been the big reasons for the inconsistencies? Because, you look up and down the scoreboard, and I know they've played some tough games, but the inexplicable loss to Brown, I mean, they got worked by Boise State. You mentioned the CSUN game there. I mean, have you been able to pinpoint it, or has Brian Dutcher been able to pinpoint the inconsistencies?
No, I mean, that's been the most frustrating part to them, to him, I think, is just he doesn't know what team is going to come out. I mean, one of the assistants walked by me right before the Boise game. He goes, are we going to be Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde tonight? I have no idea. We could get blown out by 30 or we could win by 30. He goes, I just don't know. And I think that's been hard because they can't pinpoint it. But, I mean, the obvious difference is they can't guard anybody anymore. And that was sort of their staple. And it really goes to show, a lot of fans criticize their offense all those years saying, oh, they can't shoot and this and that. But the thing is, they were in every game because of their defense. And the old adage about defense winning championships and defense travels and all those things, it does. And it kept them in games. And now, unless they have a blistering shooting night, which they were for parts of the early part of the season, they're not now. But they, unless they light it up outside, they can't compete. And it's just been shocking for people to watch. But I think, you know, the answer to your question of what's happened, I think it's part of a larger issue across college basketball for mid-majors. I just think that the mid-major is dying. There aren't as many bids anymore, at-large bids for them in the tournament. I think the Power 5, Power Conference money is trickling down into their basketball programs, and they've got better coaches, they've got better facilities, and they're not, quite frankly, making recruiting mistakes. You're not seeing them miss on a Kawhi Leonard like they did with San Diego State. I mean, he came to San Diego State at a time when they hadn't won an NCAA tournament game and never been ranked. I mean, how does that guy end up at San Diego State? And it's not happening as much anymore. And it's not just San Diego State. It's UNLV. It's New Mexico. It's Wichita State. I mean, they're way down. It's UConn. I mean, they've won multiple national championships. They're down. It's Memphis trying to get it back going again. Creighton, you know, Marquette's trying to get it going again. I mean, these are really proud programs, but they're just, it's just very hard to compete with the power conferences now. So I think that's part of it as well. And the third thing is West Coast basketball stinks right now. Uh-huh. And I think they're caught up into that swirl as well.
Isn't it funny, though? And one thing Steve Fisher was able to do was able to work the transfers really well. And that's what Eric Musselman, although they got worked by New Mexico, is doing at Nevada. And they're up there. But isn't it funny, and I'll throw Wyoming in there, that Steve Fisher and Larry Shyatt both got their teams to play extremely well defensively. And it just seems like the new guys who have been assistants with those, it's not transferring over well. And I find that interesting that the two old guards could get their guys to buy into playing defense.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because you're seeing this trend towards younger and younger coaches to kind of coach this new generation. But the funny thing is those guys somehow commanded a respect, maybe because it was such a large age difference. You know, you're talking 45 years, 50 years, you know, maybe in some cases with freshmen. And yet they were able to commit. You know, when I used to say when somebody got chewed out on the rare occasion they got chewed out by Steve Fisher, you fell about a half inch tall. It's like your grandfather yelling at you. When your grandpa yells at you, you feel horrible. You know, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, you're like, oh, my God, I feel awful. And I think that there's something to that, and Brian Dutch is a very good basketball coach. I'm sure Allen Edwards is too, but boy, they can't guard anybody right now, and they just can't get through them. There seems to be the way I put it, a motivational disconnect just seems to exist.
So in your opinion, I'm going to go back to the point you made about the mid-majors really dying. Do you see this trend continuing with the way the discrepancies are in money for the Power Five versus everybody else?
Well, I mean, it's got to reach a point where it bottoms out, but it's certainly, I think it could get a little bit worse. I mean, here's an example. I think 5 years ago, 11 mid-majors got at-large berths. The last three seasons has been 5, 4, and 5. And last year, if San Diego State doesn't win the Mountain West Conference Tournament and Davidson doesn't win the A-10, it would have been 3. And those are just fewer and fewer opportunities. Now, you see a Loyola Chicago get through and get to the Final Four, and everyone thinks, well, see, mid-majors can still do it. But look at them this year. I mean, it's just they can't sustain it. And so, and I think that was much more of an aberration than anything else. I mean, they got hot at the right time. The tournament's set up, you know, it's just a one-off deal, and you get hot and you get a couple games, you get rolling, you get some magic going, and you can do it. But the only mid-major that has really been able to sustain is Gonzaga, and they're a machine, and they have some advantages. They have foreign guys who can't speak the language going to school there, mm-hmm. and that's something that's not publicized very much. But they got guys who, you know, Japanese guys who can barely read, write in English going to school there, and they couldn't get in a lot of other places, so they have that advantage. And they also have the tradition and an incredibly good coach. So they've got it going, but I just don't see anybody else being able to sustain. It doesn't mean they won't have good teams, but I think you're going to have to go back to kind of the old model of building a team for 4 or 5 years, getting guys to stay, which is hard in this transfer era, getting a lot of fifth-year seniors, getting some transfers, maybe a foreign guy or two, and building up that team once every 4 or 5 years, it makes a run, and then you got to start over again. And you know, Loyola is kind of not starting over, but they're kind of gone back to the pack. And I think we'll see a lot of that, where a team jumps out and drops back to the pack. And so, to see San Diego State, UNLV, and Nevada with the resources they have, a commitment, and crowds, be at the state that they're in, it just can't be a coincidence.
It's amazing. You brought up the whole Gonzaga thing with some of the guys they're bringing in. We brought up that my co-host, who's not here today, we bring up that point a lot, and you don't hear that point being made whatsoever. And it's an interesting one that you made, Mark. About tomorrow, you mentioned San Diego State's inability to guard. Well, Wyoming wanted to push the pace at the beginning of the year. Now with 7 scholarship players, they're back to kind of playing Larry Shyatt type ball. Advantage San Diego State in that aspect, or how do you see this one?
Well, San Diego State doesn't have a very deep bench either. The problem is they're starting. They're starting 5. They have a 4th-year junior, Nolan Lorraine, coming off the bench. He hasn't given them a ton this year. And then they have 5 freshmen, and that's it. And 4 of the freshmen are Africans, 2 of which have only been playing basketball for 4 or 5 years, and they're, you know, they're learning the game as we go. And so their bench is, and that's what happened to them against Boise. They got in early foul trouble. Really, for the first time this season, they got in a lot of foul trouble, and they had to go to their freshmen, and they just weren't ready. And so I don't think having a short bench against San Diego State, because they're going to kind of be in the same boat. And I think that, you know, the big thing is just the mental block that Wyoming has. I was just crunching the numbers. Their last 10 visits to Viejas, they're 0-10 and been outscored by an average of 20.2 points.
Wow.
And that's a big sort of mental block to get over. I mean, I think for San Diego State, if they could have, you know, after taking a 24-point hiding, which they just rarely ever do, and so it's a shock to their system, and people are freaking out, and the players are freaking out, and if they could have picked an opponent, a bounce-back opponent, anybody in the Mountain West, they would have said home game against Wyoming, and that's what they've got. So it'll be interesting to see how they play, and if they play down and feel sorry for themselves, or if they come out angry, and you know, they like you pointed out earlier, they've been really bad this season, but they've also been pretty good in some games. They have 2 or 3 30-point wins and a 50-point win this year, so they can get it rolling in there, and you know, in some respects, I might feel sorry for Wyoming having to come in and face that.
Outstanding as always, Mark. We appreciate it. Mark Ziegler, San Diego Union Tribune. Check his stuff out. He is great. We appreciate the time, Mark. Thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure. I'm very I'm bummed that we don't play up there this year. So
right.
I don't get my annual trip to Laramie and my meal at the Cav and my chance to see the High Plains. So we'll miss you.
Well, maybe you can make a special trip anyways, right?
I'll come in the summer and play some golf.
Right, there you go. Jacoby National will be waiting for you. Thanks, man.
I can't wait. All right, thanks.
There you go.